Good afternoon, everyone. You know, sitting up front, I thought, as we were singing, I'm sure God heard that this morning. It was beautiful. When I was given the date for this sermonette on 9/11, they said that should give you a lot to talk about. And I really didn't want to talk about that, but I'm going to bring it up for the start. 3 years ago today, the Twin Towers in New York City came down by terrorists. We are at war with terrorists. The world seems to be in a turmoil. Extreme weather patterns, fires, and guess what? Now the year of politics. Where does that put us, God's called ones? We, brothers and sisters, are the fortunate ones. For we have not been called as Republicans, as Democrats, as liberals, but we have been called and elected as ambassadors for Christ. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no soldier on duty gets involved with civilian affairs since he has to please his commanding officer. Now, we have been chosen as ambassadors for Christ on duty 24/7 to give the people of this world an example of love, kindness, and patience, something most of the world does not know. As called and elected ambassadors, we are commanded to go to the feast. How will we represent our commander-in-chief at the Feast of Tabernacles 2004? Well, I'd like to share today a few thought-provoking ideas on how to do that. And I don't know if you remember, but last year, just before the feast, David Holliday gave a sermon about how he had made a prayer list. And he made this prayer list up of things that he wanted to remember, things he wanted to pray about for the feast. For example, things to pray about on the way and to the feast for no vehicle problems, and being prepared, safety in driving, safety in flying, safety for our children, and on, you can make the list fit whatever needs you have. Now, Elsa and I took him up on that last year, and we found that it worked very, very well. And I'd like to share with you the opening night of the feast last year. Mr. Weber gave some powerful points. And I'd like for you to write down the first one, because it's something you should remember. He said, be flexible, for the unflexible shall get bent out of shape. I want to repeat that. Be flexible, for the unflexible shall be bent out of shape. And I got to thinking this morning on the way in, you know, we can have some fun with that on the way to the feast. How can we change those words around? Be patient, for the unpatient will show no love. Be bendable, for the unbendable will be unflexible. So going to the feast, we can take that little phrase and have a lot of fun with it. Other points that he gave was, be a part of the feast and make it happen. What spiritual lessons can we learn at the feast that will lift up our lives? This is the feast of temporary dwelling places. God brings us together annually to remind us of what we should be doing. Our temporary dwellings remind us that we are temporary. And it reminds us that we have limited time to do God's work. We are there not for a vacation, but a vocation. We must have the urgency and knowledge of becoming teachers. And our temporary dwellings remind us that God is living temporarily in us. It reminds us that even the millennium is temporary, and the earth is a temporary dwelling. So, how many news are we willing to give God at the 2004 Feast of Tabernacles? That first night after services, you know, on the first night is always a full moon. You know what would be fun? To take our children or go ourselves on a high hill, wherever we might be, and view that moon, the beauty, and to reflect on its beauty and what it represents and who created it. So become servants at the feast. Don't go to the feast to get, as we will miss the giving part. How? Show a happy face by smiling to everybody. Give kind and loving greetings. You know, one of the easiest ways for us to serve at the feast is prayer. Let me give you some examples. We can get up in the morning and pray for a safe day for our travel to the feast site or to the where we're going to meet. And when we get there, every time that something happens on the stage, you know, when the song leader comes up, give a short prayer that everything will go well with him. When the prayer for opening and closing, the sermonette, the special music, the sermon, the whole shebang, we can give a short prayer. And God hears those prayers. And let me tell you, if you're speaking up here, you know that he heard them. And one other one. When you're sitting there with 1,000 people and there's a mother sitting in front of you or beside of you with 3 or 4 restless kids that are a little noisy, say a prayer for her too, because she needs spiritual food. But she still has to take care of her family. And for you dads who have a deaf ear to the noise of your children, help her out. She needs the help. She needs it. About 3 weeks ago, Warren gave a sermon, and he mentioned on what is happiness. He gave 3 points. Something to do, something to look forward to, and someone to love. Use these 3 thoughts to make the service people that we make contact with feel happy. The maids, the waiters, the waitresses, the hotel people, the salespeople in stores when you're shopping. Give them your best smile. Give them kindness. Be patient. Show love. After all, we are ambassadors and should be living examples of the commander-in-chief we represent, God and Jesus Christ. There's a couple of other things that can help us as well. Almost all of you, or should have, received the feast planner. I recommend, in fact, I'd like to demand, I can't do that, but I'd like to recommend there's 3 articles in there that you should read. One is showing thoughtfulness to others during the feast. Do you know where your children are? Last year at the feast in Escondido, they were having a party at a condominium, and as everything is, there's a lot of people around, whatever, and somebody looks and says, what's that at the bottom of the pool? It happened to be our 1 or 2 year old child. And miraculously, he was saved. He was at services the next day. Our children can get away from us so fast, and especially the little ones. And read that article. It's worth reading. And the last one is The Flu, Cold Bug, and Love. And in case you don't read it, I want to read you the first paragraph because I think it's important. Have you ever been warmly greeted with a handshake, kiss, or hug by someone at services, only to find out as soon as he or she started talking that the person was obviously ill, with a flu or cold? I shouldn't really be here, but I don't like to miss church. Cough, cough, sniff, sniff. Yuck! Who would want to meet and shake hands with somebody like that? He ends up by giving the what to do. None of us wants to miss services. We want to soak up every moment of the feast. Why is it with the days that we miss, so often we hear the words, you missed a really good one? But you know, when you practice the loving law of quarantine, you are preaching the most effective sermon to everyone around you that you take God at his word and love them enough to stay away. You have practiced what God's word preaches. Now if I can find my place. Stay healthy. God tells us to eat and drink the good stuff at the feast. But as our bodies are the temple of God, we must do this in moderation. I'd like to relate another story. My wife and I went to the feast in Spokane. Some of you that have been in the church a long time will relate to this. I came back from the feast, and my lead man asked me, he says, where did you go? And I told him that I went to a religious feast in Spokane. And he said, oh, Spokane. He said, yeah. He said, was there a lot of you there? And I said, well, probably 1,000 or more. And he says, well, you know, my niece is a lady who works the rooms in one of the hotels. And she told me that you were the most boozing bunch of religious people she had ever run into. Now, you know, I could have pleaded, begged, and whatever. It wouldn't have done any good. And it hurt. But, you know, we were wrong. We used to go to the feast years back, and maybe some still do, and the first place that they hit in town was the liquor store. And we had to buy 10 bottles of everything, and we had to put them on the windows to let people know that we had it. I mean, what a terrible thing to show the world. It was bad. And I'm going to give you one other circumstance, that for those of you who go to the feast on a minimum amount of money, be thankful. Elsa and I went to the feast before my big boom out the door at Boeing, and I had over $10,000 to spend at the feast. And you know what I did? I spent all the time trying to spend it. I spent so much time trying to spend the money that I missed the feast. And 3 years ago, we barely had enough money to go to the feast, and we went to Ben, and we, after services, we went back to the room and we ate there. We talked together. We spent time together. We didn't have time. Well, actually, we didn't have money. We had time. We didn't have the money for the glitz and the blitz of everything that's out there. And sometimes the feast gives us the wrong impression that we need to take our kids to everything. It doesn't mean we can't have fun, but we want to be there for what the feast represents. We must be and give the right example to the world. So eat good. Stay out of fast food places. Don't pick out because it's the feast. Moderation, moderation, moderation. Elsa and I have learned that to stay healthy while traveling, we eat a big meal at lunchtime and go light at night. Our bodies, which are the temple of God, will love us for it. Get the proper rest so that we can serve God the following day. Now, for those who dislike moderation, and for the rest of you, I now want to tell you how to be gluttons and wine bibbers at the Feast 2004. You see, we've eaten properly, we're well rested, we have served God in prayer, at the least, services have begun. Now let's focus on the service part of the feast. No distractions. Tunnel vision to the pulpit or to the stage. To everything that is said, we must eat up every word that is spoken. Take them to our hearts until we are full. And now you will be gluttons to God's word. And for those who want to be wine givers, God's Holy Spirit will be everywhere at the feast. He will speak to us through His ministers, through the singing, through the special music, our fellowshipping, our families, hopefully everything we do. So drink in of that Spirit until we are filled to the brim, and now we will be wine bibbers to God's Holy Spirit. So make this feast a vocation, not a vacation. There will be powerful sermons and sermonettes. Take good notes for home study for when you get back. From last year, I have one note of one sermon that was exceptional for me. It was a sermon by Randy Scriber entitled, A Job Interview with God. I think he had 17 points that he used. The most powerful sermon I have ever heard. We will be better off if we go home from the feast, a little leaner in body weight, and with a greater understanding of God's Word and the power of His Holy Spirit. Have a happy, rewarding, and wonderful feast.